Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. I remind you before we jump into the show to tell all area jazz vocalists and musicians you're invited to a historic photo shoot, a great day in Baltimore, Monday, September 13th, 9 a.m. at the War Memorial Plaza in downtown Baltimore. The photo shoot will bring together local and regional musicians in Baltimore's rich musical history, past and present, to support jazz in the city. Proceeds from the photograph will benefit the UB Blake Cultural Center's jazz workshop programs. For more information, contact Mia Miata at 443-204-1730. That's 443-204-1730. We're saying this is Baltimore County Day, and we'll probably have a few more of those days before the election takes place, inviting some of the other council would-be council members to join in on these conversations here. Baltimore County has had the dubious distinction of having no women on the council for
16 years.
That's it, 16 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of women who are vying to change that. And two of those women are here in the studio now as we kind of focus on challenges and invite the others on as well. We did make some calls out, have not heard back. And we, if they do call back, look forward to having other members of this who are in these races join us as well on the air. We are joined in studio by Rebecca Dongara.
Dongara.
That, huh?
That's fine.
Dongara.
Dongara.
Right? Candidate for Baltimore County Council in the 1st District. Founding partner in Dionysus Kitchen, a Catonsville-based catering firm. Laronia Josie is with us. She's a candidate for Baltimore County Council in the 4th District, a lawyer and management consultant who served as the general counsel to Bethel AME Church in Baltimore for 15 years. And welcome, ladies. Good to have you with us in the studio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So to talk, I was interested in the campaigns, and Rebecca, we exchanged Facebook conversations a couple months back. One of the things I was interested in is just people who kind of challenged the machine, because there were some men, or a man, we'll remain unnamed at this point, kind of anointed by the heirs to the council, thinking, okay, we'll choose who's going to be the next council member. But you decide that wasn't the right response.
Sure. I'm running more of a politics unusual campaign.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, ironically, I approach it that way, but I also have been kind enough to link all of my opponents on my website, because I've made it very clear that I think that people should choose for themselves, educate themselves about who is running and what they bring to the table with their platform issues.
And in your district, Laronia, Josie, I mean, there was the man who represents the county council now. Ran into some trouble with the law, remained in the council, though. Is that one of the reasons you leapt into the race?
Oh, no.
Okay, tell me why you're in there.
I was just tired of Liberty Road looking like a hodgepodge of inexcusable neglect. I was just tired of it, and I wanted better for my grandchildren. And when I heard that we had failing schools, I mean, with all of the PhDs and the teachers and educators that we have in Northwest Baltimore, I just thought that those things didn't go together. So the idea of male-female didn't even really enter into my thinking. It was wanting to show my grandchildren that everybody can make a difference and that we needed to try to do something.
In your district, it was interesting. Somebody called in the last half hour for Kevin Kamenetz, and the question that David from Randallstown asked, he said Randallstown has probably in Baltimore County the highest percentage of graduate degrees of any neighborhood in Baltimore County. Yet there's no places, restaurants or other places that cater to educated folks, in this case, educated African-American folks on the west side of town.
Absolutely. Any way you look at the demographics, socioeconomically, education, or if you look at the retail demographics that, say, a Target or a Nordstrom would look at, we're on the top. And so that's what I meant when I said to you that we should not have schools that are not up to snuff. We should not have a lot of how do you say, chicken and fish joints. I mean, we need more upscale eateries. And I wanted to be a part of that calculus of saying what goods and services we need by empowering the community to find its voice, because we've just been silent too long waiting for people to do something for us. And I know as a woman, if you don't speak out, you won't get it. So that's why I'm here.
You're about to say something too, it looks like, Rebecca, were you?
Well, I just wanted to bring up the fact that it's exciting that when we look at what's coming down from the state level, and I think it's important as a council person that you look regionally. You can't be focused just on your district. You need to have a broader perspective when you serve on council. And you also need to look at what's coming down from the state level, and that is that the red line is coming. that we finally
have. Which is really good,
exactly.
Because we need good transportation. But I want to make it real clear that I know that the 4th does not exist without the county, and I am very much interested in what happens in the county. But I'm also going to be asking, what is the benefit of this for the 4th district? Because we pay a lot of taxes, and we've not gotten services commensurate. You know, I'm diplomatic and tactful and finesse, all that stuff. But somebody has got to pay attention to what's happening on that side of the county.
There'll be some people calling in. I invite you to come back right away. We'll get you on the phones. 410-319-8888. You have a chance to question two of the women who would be serving on the city council, county council, if they win this election. Rebecca Dungara is with us. She's candidate in the 1st District, which is on the southwest side of the county in Catonsville, in the Catonsville area.
Yes.
And Laronia Josie in the 4th District, which is in Randallstown, 4103 and environs. 410-319-8888. Bob in Catonsville, you're on the air.
Hi, this question is for Rebecca.
Okay.
I've been a resident in Catonsville for 59 years, and obviously I think you probably know very well about the promenade issue that we are faced on a daily basis here in Catonsville, and wanted to know what exactly your position is if you were elected to county council.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a great question. And it certainly is a thorn in the side of many people during this election cycle. It's a symptom of a larger issue, is the way I see it. And I am not interested in having a 1.4 million square foot mixed-use development there that the developer, Mr. Whalen, is proposing. I have testified in opposition to enabling legislation at the state level, in opposition to it, and I have vowed not to take $1 of development interest money, because I think that one needs to stand strong and make a point. And again, I'm running an unusual campaign because I believe that we need to look at historic preservation. I believe we need to focus on transit-oriented development, and that particular land parcel is not a good representation of transit-oriented development.
Let's explore this a bit. You have right there. You can turn that up if you. Does that help? There you go.
Good. There we go.
Sorry about that. Both of you, what you just raised here, Rebecca Dungara, I think development is an issue that is a really critical one in terms of how we develop the places that we live. And you just launched into that. I'd like you to continue with that and then go with Laronia Josie to jump in on just how do we develop these areas. I mean, you both live in those areas that are extremely populated. You don't live in the rural ends of the county. And you live in parts of the county where many new people are arriving into the county and making the county more, we'll get into the diversity issue in a minute because Baltimore County is increasingly one of the most diverse counties,
yes.
I think, in the United States, if not in the state of Maryland, if not in the United States. So talk a bit about what you were just talking about how you would, why you would not take money from developers and what do you expect, what you would be fighting for as a councilman when it comes to development.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I want to say as a council person, you are an ambassador for your district, really. And I don't want to say that developers are horrible people and villainize anyone. What I do want to say is that we need to target areas that need redeveloping. We have enterprise zones within our district that need focusing on. We need to look at the rail system. It's approaching it from that standpoint as opposed to having the developer saying, I want that parcel of land, which happens to be green space, and I want to make it into a mall. That's not acceptable. No, we need to say, and our planners are very good at this at the county level, to say these are the great ways that we can go forward into the future, looking at transportation, how we can tie into the fact that we have a lot of people coming into our area. We're perfectly situated between Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. from that standpoint, with BRAC coming in, base realignment. So it's not as though we're not going to have the people, and it's not as though we're not going to have the opportunities arise. So we need to have people who will work with the developer, but to say, no, here is the area that we want to target. Now show us what you can do in that area. Right now, the tables are flipped. Right now, we have it where the developers are feeding and funneling thousands of dollars into our elected officials and into specific candidates out there running in this election, especially since there are four open seats. This is a historical election. There are only seven on council, and we have four open seats.
I hope you'll have one more.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that my position on development is that it has to be balanced and sensible. And when I look at the 2020 master plan for Baltimore County, it calls for us to work and play where we live, which in the old days, density was a bad word, but it's not going to be. And it's natural to have it around a transit source mm-hmm. so that people can get to and from wherever they have to go. Let me say this, Rebecca, I agree with you, but I'm trolling for money. I have to pay the bills for this campaign. So because somebody would give me some money doesn't mean that they would control me. I'm firm and I'm fair, but I do think that all perspectives ought to be recognized and heard in the decision making. What I think has happened in the past is that the community's voice has not been heard until something is already up, and then that's not strategically the time to say we don't want it here, because the shovel is already in the ground. Architects have been hired. Engineers have been hired. So what I want to do is to empower the community to have its voice and then to tighten up whoever is on the planning commission that represents the people, because that's where the vetting is supposed to occur. If somebody comes to me to discuss a project, I would hope that they would have already been to the community. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Oh,
so I think that it can work. And I want to see a young man who lives on the west side where I live not have to go to Baltimore City to get to BCCC on the east side. You see what I'm saying? To get to Community College of Baltimore on the east side. There was a time when everything had to go through Baltimore. It still exists that way. So we need to modernize the transportation system. You know, it was the whole hub. Everybody had to go through Baltimore.
So I understand what you're suggesting with that.
With the transportation?
Yeah.
That we need to review what we're doing. We need to look at, like, I think the Red Line is a good example of transportation that will meet the needs, because there was citizen advisory groups, so people had an opportunity to comment on routes, but that is something that will help people get to Social Security or whatever other governmental units we have there. It's a way of moving people. I think it comports with what the master plan sets forth. So I think we do need transportation, but I'm talking about the old outdated system where you have to go through another jurisdiction to get to the other side of the county.
All right. Well, that brings up a great point, because there is such thing in Europe called rapid bus transport. And, you know, that's something where you would look at your beltway, how it circulates around the city, and you would have an interior section of a rapid bus that goes around. Because, look, I sat here in traffic on the way over here tonight.
Exactly.
It took me almost an hour to get here, which is unfortunate.
From Catonsville.
Yes.
It's insane.
I sat in traffic. But you know what? Look, we have historical roads in my district where I'm sitting in traffic to go a mile or two. I'm going 20 minutes sitting in traffic. So I believe that we do need to focus on transportation, but we also need to be smart about saying, no, you can't develop and clog and congest our roads even further. Because that also happens. So we need to be smart, and there does need to be a balance. And of course, community involvement is vital. And what we don't have right now is the gentleman Bob called in earlier asking about the promenade. And what I see with that particular land parcel is that we, the community, have not had a voice at the table with regard to that. And legislation, tax increment financing legislation, has been developed at the state level, which is pretty scary, because then you have to ask, if it happens up there, the state trumps the county with regard to that parcel, since it is held and owned by the state at this point.
You're talking about the hospital?
Yes.
The former Spring Grove?
That's exactly right.
Well, I'm going to come back to that. I have another call. Let's get a caller in here. 410-319-8888. Jonathan, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Vicki Hallman.
Oh, you're not Jonathan at all.
I'm not Jonathan at all.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
And you two are running for county council.
Yes.
In the second district.
Which was Kevin Kamenetz's district.
Yes, that's right.
So it must be Women's Day today.
I'm sorry?
It must be Women's Day today.
Absolutely, every day.
So, well, let me ask the three of you this question, since you're here with us as well, Vicki. what you just raised, Rebecca, about
money,
congestion, and development, and where we're going. I mean, this is if you're serving, if any one of the three of you or all three of you are serving on the council for the next 4 years, the issues of transportation and congestion and where we're, how we're growing is going to become one of the key issues of the future, in this country. So, and where do we put the money? And where do we put that? And how do you fight for where you build and where you put transportation and what kind of transportation? I mean, it is what you just said. It took you an hour to get here from Catonsville. Mm-hmm. It can take you 20 minutes to get from, Route 40 in Ingleside over to getting towards Ellicott City. You know, I mean, just it takes you get stuck wherever you are.
Right.
I mean, I make my life's work trying to figure out how not to leave the house before 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. because it puts me in a bad mood by the time I get into work.
Exactly.
So how do you really wrestle with that? I mean, how do you really address that in a serious way? Because you're going to have to look at that and developers. We heard what you were saying.
It's going to take partnerships, though, with the federal, the state, and the county. I mean, it's such a complicated, huge, major issue. I mean, I really do feel that it's going to take great partnerships with everybody, with where the money's coming from and how we're going to do it. I mean, it's great to have public transportation, but where's the money coming from and where are we going to put it?
And
I think it's something that really needs to be discussed as a group with federal and state officials.
And see, Vicki, I totally agree, but you've got to have like-minded people on the council.
Absolutely.
You've got to have people who want to keep this. What I'm talking about is keeping things on the front burner and not letting things slide as often happens, and then you forget about it and you look up 5 years later and you're in the same situation. Mm-hmm. So I think that you have a bunch of women who want to say, listen, there are some issues that have to be addressed. We've got to bring Baltimore County into the 21st century. Let's talk about where we need to go, what we want to do. And then as Vicki suggests, bring in your private partnerships and let's talk about it. We got to rethink a lot of things.
I think we have to be very creative and we have to rethink so many of the situations. Yes.
Rebecca, you about to say something?
No, I think that's important. And I also think that we need to, when you tie this into development, you need to think about making things accessible by bicycle, making sure that people can walk.
Sidewalks. People can't walk if you don't have sidewalks.
And mixed income, because mm-hmm. if you build something and you don't provide housing, mixed income housing, then you're still having that problem of people having to drive to work to get there. So it has to be mixed income as well.
Well, I think we have an opportunity with redevelopment.
Yes.
Because when we redevelop, we're going to be able to make those mixed-use walkable communities. Right now, we don't have a lot of them.
Exactly.
But in the redevelopment process, I think the ladies here have a great opportunity to make things happen.
Let's go back to the phone show, 410-319-8888. And Cheryl, you're on the air.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, is this Cheryl Dunnigan? Who is this?
Yes, it is. Hi,
Cheryl.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I've been listening today, and everybody is just calling in with some great questions. But I wanted to know, what do you think is the key issue that sets you aside or apart from the other candidates?
Is this for Rebecca?
Yeah, for Rebecca. Sorry.
Okay.
Let's see. I would have to go back to the fact that I'm focusing not just on the money I'm not a one-issue candidate. I started out my campaign with a blood drive and didn't ask for $1. I wanted to raise awareness of the social issues that we face, because when the economy, when the dollars are down, the resources are in greater demand. And we particularly see that within our district, because we have our Westside homeless shelter there that we see homeless people on our streets. We don't have enough businesses to support jobs at that level, entry-level position within our district. So, you know, that's troublesome. I want to bring up the point that we're very connected. All of these issues, there's not one thing that you can look at and isolate it. You need to be able to make sure that they're to see the bigger picture. Again, regionally thinking and looking at things with the bigger picture. We have people in the community. I'm the only one out there talking about the heroin issue. We need to have honest leadership on council to speak about the social issues that are out there. Domestic violence. We have the greatest domestic violence death rate, Baltimore County, in our whole state of Maryland, and that needs to change.
The greatest number of women who are murdered
men and women experience domestic violence. Currently, Baltimore County, in 2009, it was reported, we have the greatest domestic death rate with domestic violence. Yeah, that needs to change.
I think I heard Scott Schellenberger say that at a community forum against violence. And what he said was that the homicides are not random in Baltimore County. They usually result from domestic situations. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard him say as well.
So I'm bringing up the issue that the government can't be your answer to everything. We need to, because resources are in high demand, we need people to get out there and volunteer. We don't come to this position on council knowing all of the answers. That would be impossible, Mark. But what we can do is say we have great team members on council that we work with, and we have great people that work amongst us that you look to for answers. You don't want to be beholden to anyone, but you do want to educate yourself.
I'm curious what you all were. Did Vicki leave? I was going to ask her a question, but she's gone.
Okay.
So one of the things we also have in Baltimore County, which is the diverse nature of this county. I mean, I see this county as changing
absolutely
markedly, whether it's Catonsville or neighborhoods like in Padonia, Cockeysville, White Marsh. I've never, in all the surrounding area, metropolitan areas, I've never seen more racially mixed neighborhoods than those neighborhoods I see in Baltimore County. I think that's one of the things people don't realize about this county.
Right.
It's no longer the kind of white conservative county that it once was.
Yeah. I lived in Lockhearn for 32 years, and when I moved to Lockhearn, it was probably 80% white. It's the flip of that today. There's a book, Not in My Neighborhood. You read that book?
Yes.
My husband used to get stopped every night by the police asking him what was he doing there. He had a master's degree, out working, trying to support his family. And I read in that book that county executive then, Dale Anderson, asked the realtors to let the police know when any African-Americans moved into those neighborhoods. But thank God we've moved beyond that now. And so you're right, we do have diversity, which is all the more reason why your government has to reflect what's out there and not be reflective of the old days. It's sort of like Prince George's County, very agrarian. When I was over in Washington as a lawyer, people got moved from the Capitol Hill and pushed out there. And so that county has changed from the horsey set that it used to be, when I moved there. It was horsey.
We need people on council that are going to be bridge builders.
Exactly.
Bridge builders that allow all people to come together and work together. We may agree to disagree, but we can still find common ground to move forward in a positive way.
I mean, in Catonsville, it became an increasingly diverse community. I mean, it's not what it once was as well. I mean, it's African-American, it's white, it's Latino, there are Asians, it's just...
And my district goes all the way down through Lansdowne. I mean, it's a large district. I mean, you need to really consider that. It's not Catonsville, it's Lansdowne, it's Halethorpe, it's Arbutus, it's Woodlawn. We have a very diverse mix of people,
which is racial.
Yeah,
which is what life is about.
Yes.
I have two grandchildren who are mixed, and sometimes when they come to church with me, they'll say, "Where are the white people?" Because they're used to that world that they're in. And so what I've discovered is that the more you learn about others, the more you learn about yourself. So
yes.
Rebecca and I just click, Vicki and I click. I mean, I know this is going to be an exciting time. I can feel it in my bones.
We'll see a week from today.
Oh, I know.
Is it a week from today?
Yes, Tuesday.
And I must say, it has been a blessing to be able to take my family out. I'm a mother of three children, and it has just been wonderful to visit the different churches and even the mosque.
Yes.
I mean, really.
Which is in your district.
Yes. Yes, it is.
This has been great to have you both on. Rebecca Dungara is seeking to become the Baltimore County Councilperson from the 1st District. LaRonia Josie is seeking the Baltimore County Council seat for the 4th District. Good to have you on.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you. Thank you. Good to have you here.
We're going to take a very brief break and come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about African-Americans in baseball. Where are they? Stay with us. We'll be right back.